Hey everybody, welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, as we come to you from this day that should have been opening day in the Major League Baseball 2020 season. Instead, just another day as we wait for baseball and sports in general to come back. Again, March 26th was that day we were kind of all looking forward to. Would have been Orioles-Yankees at the yard today, probably John Means versus, well, Gerrit Cole for the Yankees, and who knows how that matchup would have gone for the Orioles, but it would have been baseball in Baltimore. But instead of opening day content today, we've got another solid interview here on the pod. If you listened to yesterday's episode, we had Anders Jorstad on. He is the new voice of the Frederick Keys, and kind of went through his broadcast career, talked about the Keys, talked about other things as well. And we're going to do the same today with Paul Fritschner. He is the new number two voice of the Bowie Bay Sox. He'll be joining Adam Pohl on the Bay Sox broadcasts whenever our season starts here in 2020. And we talk with Paul about that Bay Sox season last year, what he's looking forward to this year. And then we get into some other stuff here on the pod. Paul, a Xavier alum, he called the games Zach Lowther and Rylan Bannon when they were at Xavier. We talk about Xavier baseball, Xavier basketball. Paul also is watching The Office for the first time and posting some reaction content on his Twitter and YouTube page. So we talk about that as well. And a pretty good conversation where, just like yesterday with Anders, we kind of cover a lot of bases as we continue to get our content here on Locked On Orioles. And you can follow Paul on Twitter at Paul Fritschner. That's PaulFritschner. Paul Fritschner on Twitter, where he's posting a lot of that Office content, a lot of good content if you want to go give him a follow. But without further ado, our interview with the new number two voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, Paul Fritschner.
Connor, thanks for having me, man. You and I go way back to the summer collegiate days of the Cal Ripken League, so it's nice to kind of come full circle here and talk about the Bay Sox and the Orioles.
Well, I mean, we're going to get to the Bay Sox, but since you brought it up, we got to talk Cal Ripken League first. If you're not familiar, for those of you listening, it is a summer collegiate baseball league. Most guys who play college ball in the summers, you know, when they're not getting drafted, so after their freshman, sophomore, and sometimes junior year, they'll play in a summer league. Obviously, you probably know the Cape Cod League. That's your number one league. That's cream of the crop up there in the Northeast. But, you know, the Cal Ripken League probably ranks somewhere in the top 10 in the country in summer leagues. And Paul and I were both in the league in 2017, I believe. I stayed in it for one more year, but you were with the Alexandria Aces, who put together one of their better seasons of all time that year.
Yeah, at one point they were ranked in, I forget how high they got that year, but I want to say they got up toward the top 10 at one point as the summer went along. It was a great summer, and it was a summer for me that was a lot different than the summer before. So I went to Xavier, which we'll get into more in a little bit, but the summer before the Aces, I spent in the Great Lakes Summer Collegiate League with the Hamilton Joes, and that league was way more spread out. Teams all over, like Ohio and very far east side of Indiana. And then you come to Alexandria in the Great Lakes, or excuse me, in the Cal Ripken League, and I mean, those teams, the travel time was almost the same because the traffic. But
yeah,
all the teams are right around each other.
Well, I mean, I was with the Baltimore Dodgers my first year and the Baltimore Redbirds my second year. The Redbirds now defunct. But yeah, we kind of felt bad for all the teams that were in Virginia because we would just sit there waiting at our, you know, fields up north of Baltimore or east of Baltimore and just wait for these Alexandria and Herndon, Virginia and DC teams to get through DC traffic to try and make it up for a 7 o'clock game.
It was terrible, but hey, you meet some people along the way. How about that?
You do. Met you as you broadcast a game from the metal bleachers at Joe Cannon Stadium in Anne Arundel County, Maryland, the home of the Baltimore Dodgers, as we called some Cal Ripken League baseball. But So you go from the Ripken League and you go through Xavier, and now you make it to Bowie here. Well, you'll be joining Adam Pohl on the radio to call Bay Sox games. Of course, Bowie had a phenomenal season last year, and you'll be with them this year whenever we get started with baseball. So, you know, kind of what's the excitement level to get back into the minor leagues this season? And not only that, but get in with Bowie, a team that, you know, set a lot of records for them last year.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm really excited to start with Adam whenever, like you said, the season comes around. Today's the 25th. Yesterday, the 24th, was supposed to be my first day and make the move out to the Maryland Bowie area. And instead, I'm sitting here in Cincinnati. And it's weird not having baseball coming right around the corner. But hopefully everything gets figured out. Everybody stays healthy and we can play baseball soon. But yeah, Connor, I went from the Aces in 2017, and then in 2018, I was with the Florence Freedom, which is in Northern Kentucky, and I was their number two voice for that summer. It's a Frontier League team, which is an independent league team, and they're on the younger end of, they just actually joined with the Canadian American League, so there's no age limit anymore from what I understand. But Frontier League, kind of how you were talking about the Cal Ripken League being up there with the Cape Cod League as far as talent goes. The Frontier League was kind of right behind the Atlantic League, where the Atlantic League is guys that are a little older that start to age out and maybe try to make another run at it. The Frontier League are younger guys. And that was a fun league, fun summer. And then now here this year in 2020, being with Bowie. And I grew up in Northern Virginia. All my life lived in Springfield and grew up around the D.C. area. So I'm pretty familiar with the market and Bowie. I actually went to a Bowie game. I was trying to find a picture of it. I went to a Bowie game when I was, I don't know, 5-6 years old. So I've grown up around it, family, friends in the Bowie area, and I know the area, like I said, pretty well. So it's fun to be able to kind of get back home and now get on the mic whenever that season comes around.
And Bowie, you know, last year had a fantastic season, made it to the Eastern League Finals. A lot of that team, you know, whenever this restarts again, was competing for a big league spot, will be competing for a big league spot, and most of them, if not, you know, could go to AAA and have a shot to be called up at some point. So Bowie as a team is going to look a lot different this year. So, you know, from, we never know when it starts, who's going to be in AA with the Bay Sox, but who are some guys in the system who are, you know, it's kind of exciting you that there's a possibility you could call their games this year?
Well, obviously at the top of the list would be Adley Rutschman. And you feel like depending on the length of the season, he's going to make it up to AA at some point just because of, just I think the way they want to accelerate him through the system, you feel like he'll spend some of 2020 at Bowie. And then if you look at around who was in Bowie last year, a couple of Xavier guys, Zach Lowther, Rylan Bannon, that I feel like could probably get bumped up pretty quickly, if not just start straight out at AAA. But it'd be pretty fun to call those games and talk to those guys after having known them a little bit through their time at Xavier too. Talk about how productive they've been in the Orioles system. I would imagine that the Orioles want to get them up to AAA and potentially into the majors, maybe as a late season call up, depending on how they progress.
And you mentioned Xavier, you know, you just graduated from there and still were working there. That's why you're still up there in the Cincinnati area after graduation, but you got to do some cool stuff with the Xavier athletic department. So, you know, what was the, you know, you gave us the little bio and what you did in the summers, but you know, what was the broadcasting career like at Xavier? Is it still kind of continued after graduation?
Yeah, I grew up a Xavier fan. My family's from around the Cincinnati area, and I applied to Xavier, got in, went and did the games that were the Olympic sports. So I wasn't doing the men's basketball, obviously, with the Fox contract and everything like that. I'm doing the baseballs, soccer, men's and women's soccer, volleyball, kind of similar to like what you did. Although you were on the student radio station, Xavier didn't have a student radio station. You were doing like football and men's basketball and stuff like that for Maryland, weren't you?
Yeah. Because, you know, nothing prohibited us from doing that because we were student radio. So we got to do those games too, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it was a blast for me, especially doing baseball, just because, you know, baseball is one of my favorite sports, obviously. And doing the baseball games and getting to know those guys and the coaching staff, everybody was so welcoming. And and following those guys. Xavier had a great baseball team back in 2017, I believe it was, when it was Zach Lowther's last year. The rotation was phenomenal that year. A few guys that are in the minors and a couple of the position players that are in the minor leagues now. You look around, the guys like Garrett Schilling, who might get called up to Hartford this year. He was on that rotation. Greg Jacknowitz got drafted. It was a star-studded rotation on that Xavier team that went to the regional final but didn't make it out of the regional. But, yeah, around my career at Xavier, just to wrap that up really quick, I did social media and graphics, things like that for men's basketball, shot some video, did highlights for the men's basketball team just because, like I said, I couldn't get on the air, did interviews, and then got on with the Big East too, called the Big East baseball tournament twice. Would have done it again this year, but coronavirus struck and will not be doing it this year. Bowie was going to be out of town that week and would have worked out for me to be able to get back to Cincinnati to do the Big East tournament. And instead, it'll just have to work out wherever I am with Bowie this summer. But yeah, Xavier was great. They were super welcoming. And the other thing, Connor, too, was that I was the only student at Xavier that was doing this kind of work. I was the only broadcasting student at Xavier. My broadcasting partner was Mike Schmaltz, and he's a little older. He'd been around Xavier for a long time, and he helped me. He's been a great mentor to me. Just how to use humor and everything in a broadcast, he's taught me a lot. And he and I did everything together, and it was invaluable experience to be on the mic. I mean, freshman year doing baseball, it was my first game, Indiana and Xavier, April 20th, 2016. And that's kind of experience you don't really get a lot of other places. And you look at some of these bigger schools that you might have to wait till your junior and senior year to get on the mic. It was phenomenal to be able to just get on the mic right away. And hey, if you're going to fail, you're going to fail, and you're going to learn from your mistakes. And I credit a lot of that to why I'm able to get these kinds of jobs now.
Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, you hear those stories more so at smaller schools, at mid-major schools, and maybe D2 or D3 schools where you go and, you know, you're the kind of the only broadcaster there and you get to do everything. But just so happens that at Xavier, you know, not like it's the size of a Syracuse or a Maryland or something, but still a big Division I power conference school. And you're still getting to do all that because really didn't have, as you said, you know, as much of a broadcasting program. But one last thing on Xavier before we move on. You talked about the baseball program and you're doing a lot of games. I just feel like Big East baseball can get weird sometimes. And I just feel like I've seen some of the oddest final scores from not just Xavier baseball, but that conference baseball games in general. Like, it'll just be a Wednesday and you'll look on Twitter and Xavier puts up a like 22-15 final score graphic.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now. I believe it was 2018 that Xavier and St. John's played baseball. And just to give a little backstory, there was a big event going on campus that day. And I remember some of my friends asking me if I was going to be able to make it to whatever the event was. And the first pitch for the game was at 1 o'clock, and the event was going on pretty much all day. And I was thinking to myself, well, if the game ends and maybe I mosey on over there and meet everybody, I might be able to meet up and see my friends. But the first pitch at 1 o'clock, Connor, the final score of the game was 34-7. St. John's beat Xavier 34-7. It was a Saturday afternoon. And I was on the broadcast myself. I think it was like 4.5 hours or close to it, something like 4 hours. And the worst part of it was that it didn't set the Big East record. Like, they came so close. I think the record was like 35 or 36 runs. I don't remember exactly. But you play all that time, you score 34 runs, but then they didn't even set a – I was like, okay, at least if Xavier's going to lose and they're going to lose this badly and everybody's going to be sitting here all day doing this, at least set a record or something. And they didn't even set a record. But I'll tell you what, those are the kinds of things that you remember as you grow up and you grow in this business. Those are the kinds of things that you remember sitting there outside. It was a beautiful Saturday afternoon, nice and warm, and we're all sitting there, and in between innings, you'd go off while the broadcast was in a break, and we'd all look at each other and we go, oh my goodness, is it going to keep going? But yeah, you're right. It's just funky things come out of the Big East, or highlight plays out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, hey, you know, the Big East is hanging in there as a baseball conference, especially now with UConn joining next year too.
Yeah, exactly. UConn, one of the best programs in the country, and St. John's, you know, 40 plus win seasons a lot. So getting better. I said yeah. It would be the last thing on Xavier, but I had to get to this too. We had Anders Jorstad on the pod yesterday, the new voice of the Frederick Keys, and he's a Hofstra grad. And I asked him kind of about, you know, Hofstra winning the CAA in basketball and getting to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2001. And then the tournament being postponed and him not being able to experience that. For you, it might have been a little different as someone who's worked with Xavier basketball. For a team that's had a lot of success over the last 10 years, this year was maybe not the case. Was the feeling after that loss to DePaul in the was that the last game of conference tournament play this year, or at least for the Big East? And then was the feeling kind of, we would have been in the NIT anyway?
Yeah, so Xavier played on Wednesday night, and I was at a bar watching that game, and it was right about halftime, or right around the tip of the game when Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. And my friend and I looked at each other and we were like, I wonder if this game's even going to make it to halftime. There were fans in Madison Square Garden, and we had this feeling like, is this game even going to finish? Well, they finished the game. Xavier lost to DePaul, and it was the first time that Xavier hadn't made the Big East semifinal since realignment. And after a dagger of a loss in the final game of the regular season against Butler, you kind of got this dropping feeling like it was going to take a miracle to get Xavier in the NCAA tournament. Now, I was a little bit more optimistic than a lot of people that I thought Xavier was on the right side of the bubble. I just thought that you couldn't take any more bid stealers around the conference tournaments, which didn't end up being the case anyway. The Big East played half of a game on Thursday afternoon. It was at noon tip. St. John's and Creighton played in front of nobody, played in front of friends and family. And then that game didn't even finish. That made it to halftime. That was it. But I don't know. I think it would have been close had everything played out. That Xavier definitely didn't do themselves any favors, ending the season on a little losing streak and going into the NCAA tournament. And it would have been tough to see two NITs in a row, especially – you know, with the new coach, Travis Steele, Chris Mack leaving for Louisville, and Xavier whiffed on two recruiting classes in a row. I mean, just yesterday, the last person in the 2018 recruiting class transferred out. So no 2018 recruits are on this roster. And there's pretty much nobody from 2017 either. And that was the summer before Chris Mack left for Louisville, and they got nobody. And it's hard to build a program, especially with a new coach, when you completely whiff on two straight recruiting classes. So I'm not too worried. I'm a lot more optimistic than other people around the Xavier fan base, but you know, being around the team and knowing how the coaching staff operates, I don't have many worries. And not to get too much into NCAA basketball with none of that going on, but his baseball's not really going on either. So yeah, there was some optimism, I thought, from my point, but things were going to have to break our way. And the committee was going to have to say, well, Xavier didn't have any bad losses, so we'll reward him with that at least.
Well, they didn't have any bad losses until that DePaul game, I'll say. But hey, you know what? Yeah. We got a lot of Xavier talk on this podcast. Usually the only mention of Xavier comes when Bannon or Lowther get talked about. But yeah, we'll get a bunch of Musketeers fans listening here on the pod. But I want to go from one team that you root for and worked with as well that's not the Orioles to another team you root for that's not the Orioles, and that's I know you grew up a Nats fan, obviously being from Northern Virginia, and now you're in the Orioles system, but quickly, I know those fans don't want to talk about this a lot or hear about it a lot, but to see your team win the World Series last year, what was that like?
Well, it was phenomenal. And before I get into the Nats, I do want to say we had an Orioles, it wasn't necessarily a season ticket package, but it was like the kids club program where I would go to a few games here with the Orioles before 2005, before there was a team. So I grew up around the Orioles and I was a Reds fan too, because like I said, my family being from Cincinnati. So I grew up knowing the Orioles and knowing the Reds. It was just when the Nats came to town and being from Northern Virginia, I latched on to the hometown team. And yeah, I won't go too much into it, but it was fun watching. Honestly, Connor, the most euphoric feeling I got through maybe the whole playoffs, I don't want to go so far as to say the most, and winning the World Series tops it all, but I would say one of the biggest and best feelings was winning the wild card game. I mean, when the Brewers come and squander away that game in the eighth inning, it was a feeling like this dread that you felt like the Nats again. It was the same old story, losing in the eighth inning, weren't going to be able to get things done, and then to actually rally and win the game, it was like, okay, are things different this year? And then it happened again in the NLDS, and then, well, I mean, a 4-0 sweep in the NLCS over the Cardinals, but in the World Series, you get all the way down to Game 7, and you're going into the end of the game, and you're thinking, oh, this is Zach Greinke's just rolling, and it's same old, but nope, Howie Kendrick and Anthony Rendon came through, and it was great, and you hope now that some of that can continue, but looking at the Orioles and the pieces they built, I just read something yesterday talking about how the Nationals built their minor league system. They built and built and built for years and were one of the best systems in the league. And now the Nats in the bottom of the league in minor league systems, but they have a World Series title to show for it. And you look at the guys, you know, DL, Hall, Rutschman, Nitschding, some of these guys in the Orioles system that they're trying to build and hope to procure into a World Series title at some point. There's a lot to be hopeful that you can look at from the Nats that can look to from the minor league system for the Orioles that can prove to build in the near future, I think.
Yeah, and I think the one thing is, you know, that if you compare them to the Nats, they're going to need one of these guys, Hall or Rodriguez or maybe who they would take, you know, this year or next year in the top five. One of them, you know, maybe won't have the hype that a Strasburg had, but one of them, it just feels like he's going to need to turn into a guy like Strasburg and finally have a guy who you draft and becomes an ace for the Orioles, which they haven't done in my lifetime and well before then, probably, where, you know, it's an Orioles guy who you draft and has the hype and becomes your number one. And that's something the Nationals did well with Strasburg. And the hope is maybe Hall or Rodriguez can do that. But, we'll get back to baseball a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about one more non-baseball thing. You know, I've been asking people coming on the pod, you know, what they're doing right now to pass the time as everybody's staying at home. But you've made it clear you had never watched The Office until this last 2 weeks, and you are watching The Office in its entirety, posting reactions on YouTube and on Twitter. So give us an update. First, what made you want to watch The Office? And then second, where are you and what do you think so far?
Yeah, so I have seen tweets before about people saying, I wish I could go back to the start of a show that I love and just watch it with a memory wiped clean and say to myself, I'm seeing all these jokes for the first time. I'm learning the characters for the first time. And I'm going through this journey for the first time on a show. And I'm that way with Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my favorite show of all time. Seen every episode start to finish and binged it the whole nine yards, watch it on reruns. And I wish I could go back and see it from the beginning where I didn't know Jerry, didn't know George, didn't know Elaine, Kramer, all of them, and learn it all and watch the jokes for the first time. And then I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, I got nothing to do right now. And I've never seen The Office. I've started it. I'd started episode one in the first season, and I just couldn't really get through it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to commit to it. And, oh, by the way, maybe people might find my first-time reactions to it funny. So I guess, I don't know, vlog really, like, would be the right word for it, but I'm just recording my reactions to it and putting it down in video form on YouTube. And I think it's funny just because I don't even know if I'm saying the right things. In my intro video, I didn't even have the characters that I knew of, right? I was calling Kevin, Toby, and vice versa. And I was all over the place. So I thought it'd be funny to get that down. And I just finished season one. And it's real quick, only 6 episodes. Season one. And I've watched the first few episodes of season 2. So if I can finish a few more episodes today, I'll probably do a midway point check-in video of season 2 and get that out as soon as I can. But I'll tell you what, have you seen The Office? Have you seen it all the way through? Because it's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. I've watched it in high school for the first time all the way through. And then, I mean, I've probably seen every episode at least twice and probably more than that since then.
Oh, it's trending that way. I got to tell you, it's been a lot better than I gave it credit for in the beginning. And maybe that was just because the first season was tough to get through and I just didn't really find it that funny. But now as we get into season 2, it's picking up. I'm sitting there just laughing at my computer. Like you said, not a whole lot going on right now. I'm caught between doing nothing and doing nothing.
Well, there really isn't anything to do besides start shows, start books, start movies, you know, and just stay home as we get through this. But at some point, Paul, hopefully the baseball season will start this summer. You'll make it to Bowie with the Bay Sox, and hopefully they will have another fantastic season for you and Adam down there in Bowie. But thanks so much for taking some time as we kind of went around a little bit with not just some baseball, but, you know, give everybody something else to think about and then get themselves through these days in our quarantine here before we wait for sports to come back.
Yeah, appreciate it, Connor. Thanks for having me on. And I can't wait to get on the air with Adam and be with the Bay Sox. And I know it's such a great league. I know a lot of the other broadcasters. I went to the winter meetings in San Diego this year and was able to meet a lot of the other Eastern League broadcasters. And everybody's been so nice and welcoming to me. And you know, it's exciting. It's really exciting. And I hope the fans enjoy what Adam and I put together this year whenever that season rolls around.
So again, our thanks to Paul for joining us on the pod. As we talked about, the two of us kind of met back in 2017 when the two of us were starting our broadcast career in the Cal Ripken League in the D.C. Maryland area. Now Paul working with Bowie whenever that season gets started. So, again, we wanted to remind you about our greatest Oriole of all time bracket. As yesterday and today, the Sweet 16 voting goes on, and we had some good matchups yesterday with those pretty much through to the Elite Eight. But then today, Thursday, the newest matchups have been posted on our Twitter account. You can go and vote on our Twitter account, at Locked On Orioles. Our four matchups in the Sweet 16 today, the 1 seed Brooks Robinson against the 4 seed Melvin Mora, a couple of third basemen matching up. And then the 3 seed Brady Anderson against the 2 seed Paul Blair, a couple of outfielders going against each other. Then in the bottom right region, you got the 1 seed Jim Palmer against the 4 seed Ken Singleton. And then the 3 seed Frank Robinson against our really Cinderella story so far in the bracket, the 10 seed J.J. Hardy. So a couple very different generations of Orioles players matching up there. And once we get through today's voting, we will go to tomorrow. That's Friday when we will start the Elite Eight voting in the bracket, and then through the weekend we'll get us through the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and then next week's championship matchup. And it'll be interesting to see who makes it all the way to this final in the bracket. But again, you can do all the voting on our Twitter account at Locked On Orioles. And our content will continue as we continue to make it through these weeks and potentially months without baseball. Again, of course, missing opening day today, but tomorrow we're going to do kind of a special opening day look back episode to finish up the week here on the Locked On Orioles podcast. You can send in your favorite Orioles opening day moments of all time. Send them to us via email to lockedonorioles@gmail.com or tweet us at lockedonorioles your favorite Orioles opening day moments, and we'll share some of them and talk about old opening day moments here on the pod tomorrow. But that's it for today's episode here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now tell your smart device to play the next episode of Locked On MLB.